Okay, you're tuned to WHPK 88.5 FM in Chicago. You're listening to the Sitting in the Park show. Right now I have on the line Charles Perry, member of the group The Naturals. Charles, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, cool. So we're going to be talking about the history of your group and, you know, the story of your... it's the story of your group. So starting off, you guys are originally from Evanston, right?
Yes.
So
all except one member.
Okay. So first of all, the original name of the group was... wasn't the Naturals, right? It was the Duvals.
Correct.
So how did you guys form?
Well, I got out of the service in May of 61.
Okay.
And I started looking for guys. I wanted to form my own singing group.
So had you sung before then?
Well, started in church here in Florida, where I am now.
Okay.
And
so you're originally from Florida.
Yeah, Winter Park, Florida.
So how'd you end up in Chicago?
Well, my mother said we were going to Evanston, Illinois, and that's where we went.
Okay.
Didn't have any choice in the matter.
So in Florida, though, you mainly just sang in church, right?
Yeah.
But then when you got out of the service, you wanted to form like a R&B vocal group, right?
Oh, right.
So
I actually had the idea as the member of the Duvals at McGuire Air Force Base in New Jersey.
So you said you formed a Duvals group there, you're saying?
No, I didn't form it. I was a member of a group called the Duvals.
So you were a member of another, like a doo-wop group called the Duvals?
Yeah, at the Air Force Base and at McGuire Air Force Base, New Jersey.
Did that group ever record anything?
No, but I had never wanted to really sing professionally until we did a talent show there in front of thousands of people. And the applause we got that night, well, I have to tell you, I went out and got my first process. I wanted to be a singer for once in my life without my mother saying, you have to do it.
So pretty much you got started, you got inspired to do it after being in a group when you were in the military.
Right.
So then you came to Evanston, and how did you form the group?
Well, I had known Arthur Honeyman Cox,
okay,
as a teenager, and also Andrew Thomas, who was nicknamed Gugu, and
so you had lived in Chicago, I mean in Evanston, before you went to the service, right?
Yeah, right.
Okay.
3 years before I went into the service at 17.
Okay.
I knew, you know, like all kids, we'd hear doo-wop on the radio. Well, actually, going to Chicago was an eye-opener for me because I hadn't heard of any black disc jockeys coming from, you know, Winter Park, Orlando, Florida. You know, it was all Randy's record shop at night coming out of Nashville.
Okay. So,
and it was either that or hearing songs by the Clovers, the Five Keys, and my favorite at that time, the Drifters.
Okay.
Hearing Clyde McFadden.
Yeah. So you came back from the service and you found these guys, Arthur Cox and Andrew Thomas. Had you gone to high school with them?
Yeah.
Okay. What school had you guys gone to?
Evanston Township.
Okay. So how'd you find the other members of the group?
Well, by trial and error.
Okay.
The people who said they could sing really couldn't, or, you know, they just didn't fill the bill. So I kept searching and first tried out Joseph Woolridge,
okay,
a.k.a. Jeevan Jones, or Bird Brain,
okay,
and, you know, dropped him because he had a problem staying in key, you know, in his own key, wherever I put him at. And I tried other members, and...
So Joseph Woolridge isn't a member on record?
Yeah.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, I got him back.
Okay.
I just had to work with him longer and harder than anyone else.
Okay.
But he became... first tenor, second tenor, and some baritone. And Carlton Black was the last member to officially join the group. And Goo and I had to talk him into joining.
Okay, how did you know him?
From teenage years.
So you were all about the same age and kind of, did you all go to Evanston Township?
Yeah, all except for Carlton. He was 2 or 3 years younger.
Okay, and so are all the members from Evanston? You mentioned one of the members wasn't?
Yeah, except for Joseph Charles Woolridge. He was from Benton Harbor, Michigan.
Okay.
But I met him in the pool room on Church Street in Evanston.
Oh, so he was living in Evanston at the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
living and working in Evanston. And Carlson was the missing piece.
Okay. Yeah, he probably everyone in Chicago would recognize his bass, especially on Let Love Be True and on the Drewvels Tell Him. They probably recognize his Carlson Black.
Yeah, except on Let Love Be True, it was Goose singing bass and Carlson singing lead.
Okay, yeah, that's right. I'm sorry. Well, then they recognize his voice, his lead voice. So you formed the group around what year? What year was the...
61.
Okay, but you didn't end up recording until like a couple years later, is that right?
No, believe it or not. As I said, I got out of the service in May of 61, and we recorded approximately 15, 16 months later.
Okay.
62.
So the record you recorded, it was called, one side was called Cotton, and the other side was called What Am I?
Yeah, right. I wrote the Cotton and sung lead to it, and actually that was Carlson's nickname at the time.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Now, well, he had this little funny dance he'd do over in the corner at parties, and you know, it was kind of cute, you know, kind of neat, and so I came up with, you know, some lyrics, and, you know, ergo, the Cotton was born.
Okay, so how'd you end up getting a recording contract? It was recorded for a label called Boss.
Yeah, so all of the officials of Boss Records Company were from Evanston and lived in Evanston.
Okay.
And they had heard of our group, and one member of the group, I think he was the treasurer, I mean, not a member of our group, but a member of the record label, was the treasurer, and I'd go into school with his nephew, and I think, as I recall, he had told his uncle about us. His last name was Lattimore.
Okay.
And they got us to come over and do a few songs, and they signed us to a contract.
So who owned the label, do you remember?
Yeah, well... The members were made up, the officials were made up of Mr. Lattimore, whom I mentioned, Bobby Pee Wee Robinson.
Okay.
And Donald Clay.
Okay. Yeah, I think Bobby Robinson, he had something to do with a label called Dee Dee also.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. But that was the same, you know, I think that was part of the same label.
Okay.
Same company.
Well, let me play your first record, and then we could talk some more. So this is the Duvals with Cotton, and then we'll get back to the story of your group.
Okay.
Okay, here it is.
Papa ou papa, tous les papa ou,
yeah, yeah.
Tous les papa ou papa, tous les papa ou,
yeah, yeah.
Tous les papa ou papa, tous les papa ou, tous les papa ou papa.
Baby,
papa, papa,
Okay, that was just the Duvals with their very first record called Cotton. Right now I'm on the phone with Charles Perry, member of the Duvals and the Naturals. So that record came out, you said, in 62?
Yeah.
And that was an early kind of R&B sound. Your later records were more like soul sounding. So on that record you were saying that the Cotton, it was actually a dance record, is that right?
Yeah, named after Carlton. He had this little thing that he would do, you know, snapping his fingers and moving from side to side and, you know, shuffling his feet. And at the time, you know, there were a lot of, you know, previous dances like the Watusi and, you know, the Junkanoo.
Okay.
The Twist. And I just made up some lyrics and called it the Cotton, you know, a dance after him.
So-
and incidentally, I mentioned previously that we, Goo and I, had to talk Carlton into joining the group because he only wanted to sit at a piano and at a local community center and play jazz.
Okay, so he was actually had a background in like piano and jazz and stuff.
Not really. He just he would sit down at a piano and he just pick out some stuff. You know, he hadn't had any formal training, any training at all.
So
he was just naturally gifted.
Yeah, definitely. He wrote a lot of songs for different people, right?
A lot of people.
So that song. So first of all, the dance, was it a dance that anybody did, or was it just Carlton's dance?
It was a dance, you know, a little thing that I came up with, you know.
But like teen,
you know,
teen, like
about
kids,
him.
Kids weren't doing it, right?
Well, people around town did it.
So it was okay.
I don't think anybody really knew anything about it except for Evanstonians.
Okay, so you got a little local Evanston dance right there.
Yeah.
So. So there was another group on the label that you were talking to me earlier about, the Squires, and they record on the same label, and Perkley Moses was in that group. And
yeah.
You said you came in contact with them, right?
That was mind-blowing.
Okay.
After Carlton joined the group, which was early 62, January or February, and being contacted by Mr. Lattimore, we rehearsed in Pee Wee Robinson's basement. And I couldn't believe that the guy I was standing in the same basement with was Perkle Moses of the Great El Dorados group. I mean, that was mind-blowing.
Okay. So who's... I know he had a record on the label called The Docks and Peanut Butter. Do you remember if yours came out first or his came out first?
No, they recorded us first, and that was also mind-blowing because I didn't believe that they picked my group over his group.
Okay.
But they did. And the Cotton was the song that they chose to make an A-side, you know, for our first record.
Yeah, that was definitely cool. So you, first of all, your group pretty soon after that changed your name, is that right?
Right. Well, there was an older bunch of guys that I had seen for the first time while I was still in high school in Evanston. They were the Naturals.
Okay.
And they were guys I knew, but not, you know, as close friends. I had just seen them on stage a couple of times. And so at the time I thought, well, let's honor these previous Evanstonians. Let's never ask anybody about it. I said, let's call ourselves the Naturals. So that was my idea also.
Okay, so you took on the name The Naturals sort of in tribute to an earlier doo-wop group that you knew in high school.
Absolutely.
But there were no common members. You were just kind of in tribute to them.
No, not a one.
Okay. So, and the lineup, your lineup never changed, right? It was always Joseph Woolridge, Arthur Cox, Andrew Thomas, Carlton Black, and Charles Perry. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so so you ended up changing your name to The Naturals, and you ended up, first of all, did you do shows in Evanston around the time after your first record came out?
Well, we did, you know, shows in Indiana, Northern Illinois, you know, Chicagoland area.
Okay, so you traveled all around the local area?
Yeah. Didn't get paid.
Okay.
You know, but it was good, you know, good exposure because, well, I pushed the guys really hard, believe it or not. We would start on a song, and my thing was, no one had ever told me, and my thing was, hey, if we start a song, and if we goof up, we go back to the beginning, and we're going to do this song all the way through without a mishap before we move on to another song in our repertoire.
Okay.
And there were times when they wanted to beat me up. But, you know, I said, well, if we do it right in practice, we'll do it right on stage. And we never had a miscue on stage, not one.
Did you have dance moves, too?
Pardon me?
Did you have steps? Do you have dance moves also?
I'm sorry?
Did you dance on stage?
Oh, yeah. And I was supposed to be the shy one.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
So do you remember doing any shows with any famous groups?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, we opened for Gladys Knight and the Pips, the Five Deutones.
Okay.
The Ideals.
Okay.
Dionne Warwick.
Okay.
Ty Hunter. And also Marvin Gaye.
Do you remember where that show was?
The Marvin Gaye show?
Yeah.
Yeah, Highland Park, Illinois.
Okay. So then you ended up after... So did that first record, that Cotton record, get play on the radio, do you remember?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, they got them... Well, they were playing it down in St. Louis and, you know, other places in the Midwest.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how come... that was the only record you released on that Boss label.
Right.
And then you ended up changing your name to The Naturals and signing to the Smash label.
Yeah, right, which is a division of Mercury Records.
Yeah, so how come you didn't... So what happened? Did the Boss label fold? Or?
Yeah, it folded because Donna Clay left with all the money.
Okay. So how'd you end up recording... how'd you end up getting a contract with Smash Records?
Well, the Drews, now Patty Drew and her sisters, their mother worked for a guy on the North Shore. I can't remember whether it was Winneka or Wilmette, and his name was Maury Lassauer.
Okay.
And he had heard of the girls being, you know, very good at singing spirituals, and he wanted to record them, but he, some kind of way, he found out about us, and he liked us, but he wanted the girls also, but not to sing spirituals.
Okay.
So myself and Goo and Carlson, we had to talk to Mr. and Mrs. Drew,
okay,
who were really nice, and they said, oh, they finally reconsidered and say, okay, one song, but then from then on, it's got to be spirituals. So they signed us. They signed both groups, the Drewvilles and the Naturals.
But the Drewvilles ultimately, I don't think they ever recorded anything on Smash, though, because they were on Capitol Records.
Yeah, true. But, you know, same outfit was handling everything.
Okay.
And same orchestra, Dom, I want to say Don, but it's Dominic, Dom for short.
Okay.
Carone.
Okay.
Dom Carone's orchestra.
So I'm going to play this record, which is definitely your biggest hit, the song that gets played in Chicago every week still. This is Let Love Be True, and then we'll come back and talk some more.
Okay.
Okay, so again, this is The Naturals with Let Love Be True.
Send me a little smile. Oh, let love be true. I've been good to you. Let love be true. Let love be true. Bring back the past that we once knew it there. It's not so hard, if so we can be heard. Oh, I love you so. This you already know. Let love be true. Let love be true. But should it be just you? Oh, please understand. never be true.
Okay, you're tuned to WHPK, 88.5 FM in Chicago. You're listening to the City in the Park show. That was just the Naturals with their biggest hit, Let Love Be True. Right now I have on the phone Charles Perry, the founder of the group The Naturals. You can hear me, right, Charles?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So that was your first record you released as The Naturals. Do you remember what year that came out? I think it was like 64.
63.
Okay, 63. And that was a very big hit, right? Actually, was it?
Well, it was for us.
Okay. Was it a national hit, too, or do you remember if it got national play?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that was your biggest hit. What was happening when that came out? Were you excited that you had such a big record out?
Oh, yeah. But I have to tell you this story. And the song that the Druvels had for their hit, Tell Him,
okay,
originally was penned by Carlton, as was the flip side, the B-side of our first record, The Cotton.
What Am I?
Written by Carlton, yeah.
Okay.
What Am I? I'll tell you, the guy was a genius.
Okay.
He still is. Anyway, he had penned this song, Tell Her.
Okay.
And it wasn't Tell Him, but they didn't have any material.
Okay.
So Carlton gave the girls that song so that they could record, and we recorded our second song, their first song, on the same night.
Okay.
And there's another story to that one, too, because they didn't have a B-side. So, you know, one of the guys said, can anybody make up a song right now?
Okay.
We're in the studio, and Patty said, yeah. She started singing Just Because. And the girls came in, Carlson came in, and I sung baritone on that song.
Okay, so you sing on the song Just Because, the Druvels song.
I'm sorry?
So you sing on the Druvels Just Because.
Yeah, baritone.
So you said you recorded, so Tell Him by the Druvels and Let Love Be True were recorded at the same session, pretty much?
Same night.
Where was that? Where was it recorded?
I believe 700 South Michigan.
Okay. Do you remember what studio that was?
Oh, my goodness. I think Chess.
Okay. And what was the deal? Like, how come Carlton was he a member of the Druvels and...
No, but they liked the boom, boom, ba-doo-doo.
So he sings bass on a lot of...
them to do it on the record.
So he sings bass on a lot of their records, though, right?
Yeah.
So
well, you know what? That's another thing. Four members of our group sang bass, including myself.
Okay.
Everybody sang first, second... baritone and bass, except for Woolridge.
Okay. So, yeah, that was unusual.
Yeah, but I patterned on my group after the Flamingos.
Okay.
They were the best of all times.
Okay. So that record, Let Love Be True, it got a lot of radio play. Were you starting to get a lot more shows and stuff at that time?
Yeah.
Okay.
And incidentally, there's a story to that one, too.
Okay.
Tell Him was number one. We were number two, and I was sure when they fell out of that number one slot that we would be number one. But guess what? Curtis Mayfield had other ideas. And I'm So Proud hit the air, and I knew we were doomed.
You can't beat that song.
You know. We never made it to number one. Yeah.
It's funny that has a similar sound to Let Would Be True.
Yeah,
actually.
But you know, everybody thought we sounded like the Impressions.
Okay. Yeah, you definitely you had similar harmony, but more bass.
Yeah,
bass-y.
But you know, I never thought so.
Okay.
I always thought we had our own sound.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Curtis had a higher type voice, which is
well.
Different.
You know something, we could do it too.
Okay.
We could, because like I said, everybody sang first tenor, second tenor, baritone, and bass, except for Woolridge.
So on Let Love Be True, singing lead is Carlton Black.
Right.
And
he wrote that.
He wrote the song, too,
and
right?
The flip side, too.
Yeah, the flip side was a song called, yeah, Three Bandidos.
Yeah, and there's a story to that one.
Okay.
Yeah. In the studio, well, none of us could read music.
Okay.
And at the time, only Carlton played an instrument, and that was piano, but he wasn't really that good, but he could play what he wanted to play.
Okay.
So we're in the studio, and they wanted to know how Three Bandidos went. So we did it a cappella. And then I told Dom Carone, I said, listen, can we have sort of like that mariachi sound with the trumpets leading in, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And he said, you like this? And he had a couple of trumpet players do it. I said, yeah, that's it. And that's how they got that sound of the Three Banditos, which, incidentally, I think was just as good as Let Love Be True.
Okay.
Kind of a novelty song about three guys, bad guys, who rode in the town and just took it over. Almost like this, you know, the Magnificent Seven.
Yeah.
Movie. So Carlton wrote that one.
So you had two more records on Smash Records. Your next record was real nice. It was called Different Girls.
Yeah.
And was that recorded in the same session as the first one?
No, that was done the next year.
Okay.
And I cast the deciding vote on that one. Two guys wanted to do In the Morning. Incidentally, Carlton gave that one to Butch Mason and his group.
So In the Morning was In the Morning was originally supposed to be a natural song.
It was our song.
And
I arranged the background vocals to all of our songs, including that one.
Okay. So it ended up being given to the Marvelous.
Yeah, because Goo had moved to East Chicago Heights. I think they call it Ford Heights now.
Okay.
And he was going back and forth, and we had sort of drifted apart after our last record with Smash in 65.
Okay.
But, you know, we wanted to, well, like I said, two guys wanted to do In the Morning. Two guys wanted to do Different Girls, and I cast the deciding vote, and guess which one we did?
Well,
Different Girls.
Yeah, so it's funny. You,
yeah, what a dummy, huh?
Yeah, you could have had the Marvel as biggest
thing. Yeah, but you got to realize, too, the timing has to be right for every song.
Yeah.
And that was 64 as opposed to 68 when the Marvelous did it.
I think In the Morning came out before 68.
No.
Okay.
Mm-mm. 68.
Okay, well, let's play Different Girls and we can talk some more.
Okay.
So this is the Naturals with their second record called Different Girls.
The ones that I see, they're pretty as can be. Some that hug, some that squeeze, some that hurt and some that please. Some that won't, some that do, and some that don't. Some remember, some forget, some that smile and some that fret. There are some that will make you happy. And some that will make you blue. Some that don't pay you no attention. And some that are devoted to you. Some that don't, some that can. There is one for every man. No two of a kind. There are some that change your mind. There are some that change your mind.
Okay, you're tuned to WHPK 88.5 FM in Chicago. You're listening to the Sitting in the Park show. Right now we're in the middle of an interview with Charles Perry, founding member of the Naturals. That was just their second record called Different Girls. So, Charles, you're there, right?
Yeah.
So before I played the record, we were talking about how you originally had intended to record the song that ended up becoming a hit for the Marvelous in the morning. And so were you going to put it on the B side of that record, or was it going to be the A side? Because the B side was a song called Hey Fellas.
Yeah, well, actually, we didn't know which was going to be the A side or the B side.
Okay.
But I thought that Different Girls was going to be a better song at that time than In the Morning.
Okay. So Andrew Thomas had already moved to Chicago Heights at that time. But he was still a member of the Naturals.
Right. That was before the Marvelous really came together.
Okay. So he wasn't a member of the Marvelous yet, but he had moved to where the Marvelous were from.
Yeah, right.
So you recorded one more record on Smash Records called I'm the One.
Right.
Was that in the same session as Different Girls?
No.
Okay.
The very next year was 65.
Okay.
And there were only three of us at that time, Carlton, Goo, and myself.
Oh, really? So on I'm the One, there's only three people singing?
Yeah. But everybody thinks that there's more, especially on the flip side.
Okay, so you said Andrew Thomas had left to, he moved to Chicago Heights and joined the Marvelous, and then who were the, so singing on the record is you, Carlton Black, and who else?
It was just us three.
Who's the third person?
Carlton, myself, and Andrew. He wasn't a member of the Marvelous then.
Okay, so Arthur Cox and Joseph Woolridge had left the group?
Yeah, well, it's sort of like, you know, guys get married, or they have different agendas, and I got tired of tracking these guys down. After the first record, I'm sure there are other members of other groups who could say the same thing.
Okay.
You know, I'd find one, and I'd say, now you stay here while I go find the other one. And by the time I found the other one, somebody else was missing. You know, it kind of messed up the, you know, rehearsal sessions.
Okay,
In the beginning, everybody would be there, you know, in 62. You know, but as, you know, people got older and had different agendas, it was kind of hard to keep things together, and I was the one pulling all the strings.
So you never tried to get replacements for the two people that left?
No.
Okay.
I wrote my first, I bought a guitar during the summer, I believe it was July of 64, and sat down and started strumming it, remembering that my father had played guitar when I was a kid here in Florida, and he had his own quartet, but they sang spirituals, my father being a preacher. And I remembered one song that he did with his quartet. It was by the Soul Stirrers, and it was called I Love the Lord.
Okay.
And so I just sat down and started picking out, you know, trying to find something that sounded okay, and I came up with I'm the One.
Okay,
the summer of 64.
So you were actually trying to sound like a Soul Stirrer song on that?
Well, not really. I just wrote something that sounded good to me and came up with the lyrics just like that.
Okay.
Same day.
So this song's pretty nice. Let me play it, and then we can talk a little bit more.
Okay.
This is The Naturals with their last record, and you said it came out in 65?
Yeah.
And it's called I'm the One.
If you ever need someone to try your heart, just call me and you'd realize that I'm the one.
I'm the one.
Yes, I'm the one. If you ever need someone to hold your hand, just call me and I'm your man. I'm the one.
I'm the one.
Yes, I'm the one. Don't pretend to be a Valentino or any other great lover. When I tell you that I love you, I want no other. I'm gonna stick right by your side.
And
to me you can look with pride. Oh, I'm the one, baby.
Okay, that was just The Naturals with their very last record called I'm the One. Right now we have on the phone Charles Perry, founder of the group The Naturals. So on that song, you actually sang lead on, right?
Yeah.
So that and Cotton are the only records you sang lead on, is that right?
Correct.
And does Carlton Black sing lead on all the other ones?
Yeah.
So,
well, we had this thing. Well, it was my rule. If you wrote a song and we recorded it, you sang lead to it.
Okay.
It was your song.
Okay. And by the time, and the other side of that record is really good too. It's called Hey Little Girl.
Yeah, I like that.
So do you remember if your either of your last two records got play on the radio too, the different girls?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
They all got play.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But you had been reduced to three members at
three
that
members.
Point. And one of the members was already living, like, if I'm sure the listeners in Chicago know, but Evanston is the north side of Chicago and Chicago Heights is way south.
Yeah.
So one of the members was already living in Chicago Heights at the time.
Right, Andrew.
Okay. So how did the group ultimately break up? Like, I know two of the members already left, so it was...
Well, kind of, after we did the last record, things just sort of fell apart. Well, being that I bought a guitar, I loaned Carlton $25, and he bought a guitar.
Okay.
And then we both graduated to electric guitars, and we formed a band. We still call it The Naturals.
Okay.
But we were all, Carlton and I were the only two left, and we were playing instruments.
So you were more like a band instead of a vocal group.
Yeah, we had evolved into a band. Danny Marino on bass, Carlton's cousin Jimmy Archer on drums, and one of the guys I went to high school with, Arthur Taylor, also known as Creep, on saxophone.
So what did you do with the band? Like, you just performed around Evanston and
yeah, mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. First we started off with parties, and you know, when you're fledging, you know, you do just about anything to, you know, to be heard. And at the time I was working the 3 to 11 shift, and most guys were available to practice in the evenings. And soon I felt like left out Louie. You know, I'd take off sometimes from work just to be able to rehearse and, you know, be able to play somewhere. But it was kind of stressful. And from that, you know, I just stopped for a while. And, Goo became a member of the Marvelous. And when I say Goo, I'm talking about Andrew.
Okay.
And after they recorded in the morning, they needed someone, and Goo contacted me, so I rehearsed and sung with the Marvelous for about 2 to 3 months.
What year was that?
69.
Okay, so instead of him driving all the way up to Evanston, you had to drive all the way down to Chicago Heights?
Yeah, and they had a place where they rehearsed, and the funny thing about that, I always wound up buying a fifth of rum and Coca-Cola, so...
Okay.
I seemed like I was the only one with money, and that was the way we rehearsed, you know. And my thing was, you know, you have a few drinks after rehearsal.
Okay.
You know, that was the way I ran things, not before.
They were a different type of group.
Yeah, so that sort of fell apart, and I guess they did too after in the morning, but believe me, that was written by Carlton Black, not Butch Mason and Andrew Thomas.
Okay.
Because those are the names on the label.
Okay.
But and the arrangement, the vocal arrangement, was done by me.
Okay. You and Carlton actually do have credits, not on that record, but on one of the Marvelous records. I'm trying to remember which one.
Well, I never heard anyone but that first one.
Yeah, you guys definitely, your names are on. It's in, I think in the Marvelous interview we talked about, you guys have writing credits on at least one of the Marvelous records.
Mm-hmm. Well, I arranged all the background vocals on every song we did.
Okay. So, but how come you didn't stay with the Marvelous?
Well, it was, you know, it was always me doing the driving.
Okay.
It was always me popping for the rum and coke.
Okay. so you didn't want to deal, it was a big, like, long distance thing going on.
It was kind of depleting, you know.
Okay.
Plus, the only time we ever really did it was on the weekends.
Okay.
And by that time, everybody was married, you know, and, you know, trying to do decent. At least most of them were.
So I know Carlton Black stayed involved with music, like in the 70s and stuff, like playing in bands.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you stay involved too?
Well, you know, after I split from the band, I formed my own band.
Okay.
And, you know, we played locally and, you know, in the Chicagoland area.
What was your band called?
Well, you know what? It was just The Band.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of did local gigs,
yeah,
in Chicago?
Yeah, just local stuff. We never went on the road and traveled around because, you know, I was working a full-time job, and I was not going to quit it.
Okay. So you became a police officer, is that right?
No, I worked at the Evanston Bus Company for 7 years, 2 years with Willett Motor Coach Company.
Okay.
And then I became a police officer in Evanston in 75.
Oh, okay. So,
uh-huh. And incidentally, we recorded once more.
Okay.
Carlton and I and another guy that we had grown up with in Evanston, Mickey Alexander. And we did that session June 26, 94. And the name of the song was We Belong Together. And it would have been a killer, except for Mickey had his own ideas about how good he thought this song was, and we kept going into the studio until Carlton and I said, hey, this isn't working.
Okay.
You know,
so you
won't listen, so it never hit the airways. But it would have been a killer, believe me.
So you almost released a new Naturals record in 94, you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So
Carlton, myself, and Mickey Alexander.
Okay. So now, did Mickey ever sing in any of the groups or anything?
No.
Okay.
But, you know, he had a good enough voice to, you know, well, you should have heard his lead on We Belong Together.
Okay.
I kept feeding him wine that evening in the studio until I could get out of him the raw emotion that the song calls for, you know.
Okay.
And believe me, it was, I still have a master tape around here somewhere.
Okay. Oh yeah, it would be good to hear that song.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I gotta get it to you.
So, and right now you retired and you live in Florida, is that right?
Right, and still writing songs, and some I hope to either have my nephews, my brother's kids, do, or possibly sell. I've got a couple of guys. I take music lessons now. Finally, these last couple of years, I'm into music theory now.
Okay.
And there are a couple of guys who are salesmen in the store where I get most of my equipment from, and they play instruments, of course.
Okay.
And we're in the process of getting things together, putting a few of my songs on a micro recorder and trying to push them. So I'm still writing.
Yeah, I hope something comes out of that.
I do too. But if not, you know, it's been a good life, and I still love music.
Yeah, no one could take away "Let Love Be True."
No,
it was a big hit.
Never.
Right?
And incidentally, we're in two books: Chicago Soul, Chicago Doo-Wop, and one magazine.
Okay.
And I don't have the magazine, but I do have the two books.
Well, now you'll be on the internet too with this interview.
Yeah, yeah. And so, I've been telling everybody, you know, about your site.
Okay.
So you know, they're probably listening in South Dakota and Minneapolis, St. Paul area, because that's where my brother's three sons live.
Okay.
And I've told my sister in Chicagoland area and the one in Atlanta.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for being on the phone and telling your story.
Mm-hmm.
And any sort of last words for the audience?
Yeah. The old music is the best.
Okay.
Because you had to sing. You know, it wasn't overshadowed by gimmicks in the studio or by, you know, a lot of help that the singers get now. And some of them sound so much alike, you can't tell who's singing sometimes.
Sounds like a computer now.
Right. But every group from the past, you know, whoever was singing lead, if you heard them again, you knew who was doing the singing. Purple Lee Moses or Nate Nelson of the Flamingos.
Okay.
I mean, have you ever heard I Only Have Eyes for You?
Yeah.
Okay. That was Nate Nelson singing lead. And if there ever was a prettier lead vocalist, I don't know who he is.
Okay. Well, thanks so much again for calling up and telling your story. And if listeners want to listen later on the internet, the website is www.sittinginthepark.com. I'll have all the interviews there. And thanks again for this last song I'll play. I'll play the B-side of I'm the One. This is Hey Little Girl.
Thanks a lot, Bob.
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm.